The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. And man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh man, oh, how good is Fromber? Just his second start, 10 strikeouts. He threw 102 pitches, 67 of them were strikes. Basically, two out of every three pitches are strikes. His ERA is down to 1.64. Gives up one earned run, five hits, three of them infield hits.
Three of five hits are infield hits.
That's unbelievable.
31 pitches in the first inning and with the bases loaded. And then after that, it was a nightmare for the Red Sox after that.
They got one run. You and I were talking before, and I think I said this earlier in the week, is that this Red Sox, if you want to know the truth, the Red Sox lineup ain't in all that. And if you want to know the truth, without Bellinger in it, that Bellinger homered, hit a grand slam yesterday in an 11-run inning. But without Bellinger in it, that Dodger lineup wasn't all that great either, to tell the truth. But there's no good. Look at this lineup. It's Vasquez is a 251 hitter. Dahlbeck, 203. Renfro, 259. Devers is a good hitter. Bogart's a good hitter. Martinez. Kiki Hernandez is leading off. He's a 228 hitter. His 600. His OPS is just over 600.
You know, John, this is what some teams look like, though, offensively. Like, we get spoiled with the Astros because they're so deep. And they're so talented. They're so explosive. And we say things like, Jazz McCormick and Straw and Maldonado. And the fact is, in the past, the weak link has been maybe whoever the catcher was.
Yeah.
And maybe Reddick. And, and then, you know, and depending on how Carlos Correa was hitting and everyone else was dangerous. Well, that also, those were unprecedented offenses. Those are some of the best offenses that we had ever seen in Major League Baseball. Yeah, George is gone, which obviously hurts. Brantley's out right now. But you still look up and down the line. Now, it's only two runs. It's not like the Astros just...
No.
Hey, they faced a good pitcher yesterday.
But if Springer was still here with the way the rest of the line, and Brantley is here, the only weak spot you got in the whole lineup is Maldonado. Because if Tucker's hitting eighth, the way he's raking, 256 now, his OPS is over 800. He's a 256 hitter, and his OPS is over 800. The way that he's slugging, the way he's putting together multi-hit games now, he looks totally locked in at the plate.
You feel like calling up Jeff Leno and saying, hey, man, sorry about the Tucker stuff I've slandered you about in the past. It's gone on for a couple of years.
But we still got Whitley we can crush him with.
Yeah, we could still hammer him with Whitley.
Yeah.
So you're right.
By the way, how about Whitley? Hang up fast.
But I wasn't wrong about you and Whitley.
Yeah.
No, but, you know, Tucker, he said, no, you can't have Tucker.
Yeah.
And then you look back at it now and, like, man, Tucker, with George out, Tucker's a very valuable offensive piece in the outfield. He's got speed. He can steal bases. That's something George couldn't do. George could get picked off.
Yeah.
George could get caught stealing.
Well, yeah,
Tucker
did.
Can actually steal some bases here and there and has some range defensively. So did George. I mean, you know, could play defensively. And I'm not saying they're the same guy. I'm just saying, boy, having Tucker come into his own over the last year and a half has really made the transition away from George Springer. It's really helped out right now.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the guy that's at the top of your order now, Altuve, has, you know, his one stolen base. And one caught stealing. He just can't steal bases anymore. And this is a guy who has been fantastic at stealing bases. So this is, he's had 56 stolen bases, 38, 35, and he's 1-for-2 this year. And they'll tell you where his legs have gone. Now, he can still motor around, and he can still score from first on a double, but he can't steal that base anymore. That's just getting started. I think he did try last night, but there was a swing, a foul ball on one of his. I think he was attempting a steal, but didn't go through with it because of the foul ball. But that's just not something in the arsenal anymore. And Tucker will give you one, like you said. Tucker will give you one every once in a while, so that's nice. But it sure is nice when the starter goes seven innings, so you only got two innings of the bullpen. And in a one-run game, now that's baseball. What you saw last night, Pivetta had 9 strikeouts. Fromber had 10 strikeouts. That's a 2-1 game. Every pitch is important. Stanek comes in the 8th inning of all guys. Stanek comes in the 8th inning and throws 6 pitches, 3 outs, go sit down. Like, wow. That's not – that dude, you know, it's funny. As bad as he's been lately, his ERA is still only 3-2, 3-2-4. I mean,
right.
That's amazing for how bad he's been to me, because we've seen him blow up.
Well, some of those runs he gave up weren't his. Like, they were his, and he gave them up, but somebody else's earned
obviously
runs.
So yeah.
Remember, that's some of it, because he's been in with other people. So when men were on base from other pitchers. But, hey, I don't care. Rayleigh got you an inning without screwing up. Stanek has done it twice.
Presley got through a two-hit inning.
I mean, Presley got through yesterday. He gave 2 hits up. He had 2 men on.
And did you see afterwards, Maldonado, he was disappointed. He's looking at him Maldonado's smiling. Hitting him on the head. Hey, it's okay.
He's looking at him smiling I went back and looked at it again.
Yeah.
He's like, he said, you know, and then he's looking, and you can tell Presley
wasn't happy.
And Maldonado looked back at him. He's got a little smirk on his, and a little grin on his face, and then he kind of pops him on the head with his fist like, it's okay, Poppy. It's okay, it's okay, Poppy.
Yeah. So, you can tell. I mean, dude's not happy with that. Presley's been great this year. He's got a 2.25, and that's mostly all his. He doesn't come in usually with runners, inheriting runners. That's mostly all his. That's fine.
But could have been out of that Padre game.
That's his 8th save of the year. You know, at this rate, he's going to have 20-some saves. That'll be fine. We're about just over a third of the way through the season. That'll be fine if he has 20-some saves. And, and a lot of times with this team, hasn't had a lot of save situations because they've had big leads. They've had nice, or the bullpen's already blown it.
Or they've blown it before they even get to a save situation. Right. Yeah, because they have to traverse the 6th, 7th, and 8th, and sometimes just 7th and 8th. And by that time, there is no save anymore.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are y'all looking for hold stats? Because there's not going to be a lot of hold for the Astros this year.
The H,
but it's been better over since the Padres series. Since the Red Sox came to town, it's been better. They play in the afternoon tonight. Jake Odorizzi is back on the bump, and I'm interested to see what Odorizzi does this time out, because this is last game he looked okay, and you need him to pitch well, because there is a decent chance that Odorizzi could be headed to the pen. But we know. This isn't like it used to be, where you send a guy to the bullpen and then, like, he'll just figure out where
really
he gets
in. Do you
really
think it's going to be Odorizzi?
I don't know who else it could be.
Well, it might be Garcia, because he's been there and done that.
I mean, he just went 100 and 106 and was effective in both outings.
I know, 1-4 straight. He's been great. He's gotten his pitch count. Like,
why would you put him in
his pitch count is up because he's been there and done that, and Odorizzi hasn't.
Yeah, but
that's why Javier moved in there. Of course, Javier relies almost exclusively on his fastball and slider.
I just think being a good pitcher still matters as a starter. I would if Odorizzi is good, is even solid as a starter, he might get the nod, just because, as you mentioned, maybe they feel like Garcia. Whoever Brent Strom feels like has the type of physical makeup to work in a pen, which means get ready quicker. Their body gets ready quicker. Mm. That's who's probably going to be in the pen. It is a lot more than just saying, well, this is their stats and this is what they've done. And this is, I mean, a lot of it is going to be, some guys don't do well in the pen because they need a longer ramp up to get ready to get into a game.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, then, you know, whoever that is who can get ready the quickest will probably be in the pen if all things are equal. But man, Garcia's pitched so well lately, and he feels like a quality starter. Odorizzi doesn't. We don't really have a lot of recent history with Odorizzi being that guy as an Astro. So that's why today's such an important game for him. He really needs this to be a good.
He really does. Well, if he pitches well, then I don't think that there's any question.
Who's not pitching well right now for the Astros? Everyone's pitching well against the Red Sox.
Every starter.
And every starter pitched well against Padres.
Yep.
And pretty well against the Dodgers.
Yeah, except that game one.
Yeah, except for game one. I mean, there's been a run now where guys have been getting taking care of their business as starters.
Yep. So yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll see. We'll see which way they go with it. But I think it's probably odds on. Odorizzi's got more pelts on the wall. He has, you know, he's a seasoned veteran as opposed to Garcia, who got his first ever win just four starts ago. And Odorizzi hasn't come out of the pens in 6 or 7 years.
Oh well, learn to do it.
Well, that's ugly.
I'm sorry. Right now,
Pawpaw Dusty doesn't look and tell his players, "I'll just go learn to do it."
Pawpaw, Luis Garcia has compassion. You know, Pawpaw Dusty also doesn't say
empathy.
A guy who's on pace to have 12 straight wins, the pitcher in Luis Garcia. Pawpaw's also not setting him down. He's won 4 straight. We're a third of the season through. You said,
yeah.
And if I do the math on that one, he's on pace for 12 straight wins.
Well,
numbers guy. Hello, ding ding ding.
Well, no.
I'm the numbers guy here.
That's not correct.
I just gave you analytics.
That's actually not correct.
I just, because 3 times 4 is 12. Analytics.
Well, but he had earlier starts where he didn't get any wins.
Yeah, but he's not on that pace anymore. He's off of that pace and onto a different
pace. It would be more than 12 wins because he had time where he didn't get wins. So if he's on, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, he would be on pace. So if he's going to win every start the rest of the way, as you're suggesting, he would be
on
pace.
I'm thinking the bullpen's going to blow some. My numbers have already factored that in.
But the bullpen?
They didn't blow the last 4, right?
Yeah, but they're going to blow some.
I don't think
that's in the numbers, say, Dell.
It feels like your on-pace thing isn't correct.
I've got some
it does seem stuff like scribbled out here on paper. On pace
it was suggested that
you're trending now.
Yeah, he's trending towards 12 straight. Maybe.
There's on paper, the numbers say,
see, because
12 straight wins.
If you want to see his first his first games, he already has been in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 11 games, and he's got 4 straight wins. So it's not right, 12 straight. So
it really isn't.
It really isn't.
Can you check that special box that we call the column that we call the ERA column in analytics?
Mm-hmm.
Can you check that column on him and tell me?
289.
Oh, maybe I'm the only one on the show that likes pitchers with 2.89 ERAs. I'm sorry.
It's funny how you like
numbers games.
How about Stanek with his 3.24? How much you like him?
Yeah,
doesn't start.
And he's trending.
Check
you know what? He's trending for a 1,000 straight outs now, Dell.
Yes, because of what he did. Because
he did last night.
Can you check Odorizzi's statistics and tell me what he's trending for?
Well, he's actually trending pretty well after his last start.
What about his last
one in a row?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the man with the magic ponytail.
Maybe
I like guys with ponytails and sassy strike zones. Maybe that's just me.
Garcia looks like he's got a Jerry curl thing going on.
Well, it's a blown out. Like he has a rubber band in the back that holds it all together. Yeah. It creates his little tail. Yeah. Oh no,
it's a Michael Cage.
It's
thing
a
going.
Swagger. He's
it
got.
It looks like
he's got a swagger.
Yeah,
I mean he's got a thing that he's doing.
Yeah,
and I like it. It's that ponytail is just really tough for hitters to pick up the ball inside the ponytail.
Yeah, no question.
Now. But I don't want to go too far into the ponytail because I don't know if you saw what happened to Bob Brindley.
Bob Brindley got it. We'll talk about that on the other side here on ESPN 97.5.
Careful talking, speaking on guys' hair.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Order their bandanas or anything right now. Here's the deal is we got John Clay Wolf who doesn't have a ponytail, I don't believe. Have you ever had a ponytail, John Clay Wolf?
I had a mullet in 7th grade.
Can you put a picture of that on Twitter, please? That would be awesome.
The what?
Can you put a picture of that on Twitter? That would be awesome.
Oh, my 5th grade son is a Mahomes fan, and he's dying for a mullet. He wants a permed mullet.
Oh, my gosh. What are you raising there, son?
I never should have shared the fact that I had one in 7th grade.
Oh yeah, that's a mistake. Yeah, don't tell him about all the drugs either. So that'll be bad. That'll work out badly for you too. Yeah, drugs and hookers. Okay, don't tell him about all that stuff. Because
what about the Mavericks?
How about them? What about Luka? Is Luka now? Is he? Where does he rank as biggest stars in the city? Is it Dak and then Luka?
Right now, it's got to be just Luka. I mean, Dak. You know, Dak held us up at gunpoint with a broken ankle, and we took the bluff. I don't. What team can you recall where one single man carried them as heavy as this man has carried the Mavericks?
The Chicago Bulls. I like to call him Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but he had Scottie Pippen.
Well, he had help. No, quote. You got Porzingis, who's there every fourth or fifth game.
Right, but I mean, seriously, what team? The Mavericks aren't the Bulls, so let's not be delusional. But what team has had a carry like this from one individual participant?
Dirk.
Yeah,
it's a lot like Mavericks. It's very Dirk like.
The Mavericks.
Yeah, right. Portland with Dame Lillard, although CJ can play.
CJ. Well, I can tell you one team that does have it. It's GiveMeTheVin.com. I was looking for a segue into that. Right?
That's right. GiveMeTheVin.com. If you want to sell your car to John Clay Wolf, I'm not going to be here tomorrow, so I want you to know, John Clay Wolf, that Saturday morning, I want you to do some crazy stuff that we can talk about next week on the show, all right?
Okay,
GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it for the Lolo. I'm in love with the cocoa.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
A split changeup that Stroman has developed, and it's turned into a tremendous pitch for him.
Pretty sure that's the same do-rag that Tom Seaver used to wear when he pitched for the Mets.
Got the 41 patch on his sleeve right there. And Reddick is at it again. Dunks that one into center.
Silence. There's nothing after that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's the same do-rag that Tom Seaver used to wear. What if the other guys? Tom Seaver never wore a do-rag. It's a joke. It's a joke, Scotty. Stroman said, you know, it's just more subtle racism, stuff like that.
Oh, is it subtle racism, really?
Is this something he should probably say?
Is it something that really offended anyone?
If you're smart...
Did it really offend anyone? He said do-rag.
If you're smart, is that something that you say in 2021, do you think? Is that something in your little filter that goes there and say, I got a do-rag joke, but I'm going to hang on to this one. I'll just hang on to this one. Do you think maybe that should happen?
I don't know. Is it really that offensive? Did that hurt anybody's feelings?
Marcus Stroman's. He went to Twitter.
Did he? Oh, well. That's a shame that he got offended by somebody.
Well, I'm telling you now, Bob Brimley, though, no, the Cubs are, I mean, the Mets.
Is he getting suspended because he said Durant? No.
He's already apologized, certainly.
Yeah. Oh, no, he could. He could be, for sure.
Because
the Mets now are...
Because he said do-rag?
Yeah, the Mets are outraged, too. You may look into it. It's a trending topic, John.
Is it?
It's a trending topic.
No, I know. I get it. I saw it yesterday. I saw the story yesterday, and I was like, this is a non-story.
Well, think again.
Well, you thought wrong.
Think again.
Well, goodness gracious.
You people who are so reckless on the radio, you're going to start figuring
reckless,
out.
Yeah, when you say something like do-rag, how in the world can you get away?
Well, I think it's the comparison to a former old-school white pitcher and Tom Seaver back in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, and Tom Seaver didn't wear a do-rag.
It's the joke. I get the joke. It's more of a generational thing.
Yeah,
but it's not going to be looked at as such.
I guess it's racist because you said do-rag. Okay.
Well, I don't think it's saying the word do-rag. I don't think that's Marcus Stroman's. Like, did he say the D word? I don't think anyone said the D word. Yeah, this.
I will inform you that do-rag isn't on the banned list of things white people can't say.
It is or
it isn't. It isn't on the ban
list. No, you can see.
What about wave cap?
It's a do-rag.
See, white people aren't going to say, a lot of them aren't going to know what a wave cap is.
Look, I mean, I listen to it. It doesn't particularly bother me one way or the other. I will just say.
Stupid.
It's stupid.
Look, I get the joke. It's a comparison. If you look at it from the standpoint of comedy, you are taking a juxtaposition of new and old, of young and old, you're taking a juxtaposition. Well, no, it's more new and old because Tom Seaver wasn't old when he pitched. You're taking a cultural juxtaposition of the 70s versus 2020. if you look at it from a comedic standpoint, mm-hmm. I get what he was going for. I get what he was going for. Mm-hmm. But to Dell's point, there is just certain things you just think, is this going to cause me, is this juice worth the squeeze?
It's not worth it.
Is this juice worth the squeeze?
It's not worth it, Bob Brindley.
And the juice wasn't worth the squeeze.
Certainly
not. The answer's out.
If you've already had to apologize for it, it ain't worth it.
But it's, well, obviously it wasn't worth it. But is it, again, what a, wow,
I'm not fighting the fight. I
know, but that's not one, I mean, I could say, hey, listen, I see people say stupid things all the time. And you're just like, wow. But this, really? That's that offensive.
What was he trying? Was he just simply trying to be funny? Yeah, what was he doing?
Tom Seaver didn't wear a do-rag.
Well, neither did what's this number 57 former Twin Santana. What was his name?
Oh, Johan Santana.
Neither did Johan Santana. What the hell? Marcus Stroman is one of the few people I've ever seen wear a do-rag.
I've seen some bandanas.
Yeah.
At times. His looked almost like a cap, like a shower cap coming out. I couldn't even tell.
The Red Sox pitcher.
That was an
pitcher.
Oil can.
Who was the Red Sox pitcher? Tall, skinny dude with the braids.
Oh, Chris Sale.
No. Not him.
You see? You just made a Chris Sale do-rag
joke.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
But
I can make
said
one
about
Chris Sale.
Wait a minute.
I didn't say do-rag. I said braids.
I was trying to figure out.
Well, wait a
did
minute.
You laugh? You immediately
got
the comedy.
If you make a Chris Sale braids joke, no, you
I
have
can
to
make
apologize
one Chris,
now.
I can make one at Chris Sale's expense. That's, you don't know the rules, John.
He doesn't know the
Get
rules.
Get up on the rules.
I mean,
okay,
we
so
are
tall,
so
skinny Red
soft.
Sox pitcher?
Yeah, he had braids. Bronson Arroyo.
Was he a do-rag guy?
I don't know. I was trying to remember.
Bronson was already appropriated.
There aren't a lot. I think I seem to remember that he did. I'm thinking of a Red Sox.
No, most pitchers. Okay, so I have seen. I think it is Arroyo when he had his braids that where he had the. It was more of a Kevin Federline thing. Guy used to be with Brittany, where he had the braids and then he had like a bandana tied around.
He always looked like he had just got off. From vacation in Jamaica, like you know, when white girls go down to the Caribbean, they come back with braids because
oh my gosh, that looks amazing! Where did you get that? I was in Jamaica and got braided up. Oh wow, yeah,
they got overcharged for braids.
But usually, like little 13 and 12 year old girls more than
or
high school
girls.
Yeah,
on spring break, and they got overcharged because that's what happens down there. Bronson Arroyo always looked like that person coming back from vacation.
Yeah.
With his braids. I can't find a picture of him in a wave cap or a do-rag, but I do have a lot of braid pictures from him.
I actually do think I've seen somebody in a wave cap before, and I don't know why I think that, but I think
was
I have.
Vince Young?
No, a baseball player.
Oh.
And no, and I understand it with football players. A lot of them will wear stuff like that.
But I mean,
because the hair.
Why are we offended?
Ask the people that are offended.
Yeah,
you're asking the wrong people.
It's a bunch of white people that are offended by it.
And Marcus Stroman.
I guess.
And the pitcher.
Yeah. The guy.
Well, he says he is. So now are you going to say he's not offended?
No,
it's
I'm
like
not
the Osaka
saying...
thing. You can't say he's not offended.
Well, and speaking of which, we're going to have a psychologist on, a doctor of psychology here later in the show to talk about that. Because I talked to her yesterday about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she does have some opinions about it.
Okay.
About what's going on. And so we will hear from Dr. Steffi Granato a little bit later. 9:30 this morning.
Yeah, when we come back also, another change in the city as one of the voices of the city. The Rockets broadcast, it's out.
Yeah.
So the Rockets broadcast is going to change substantially, and we will tell you about that when we come back.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere. I saw it yesterday. I was like, wow, that's weird. But let's get Dan in here on ESPN 97.5 before we get to a break. Hey, Dan. Dan, you there?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Well, I got a couple of points, but I'll make it quick. Okay, John Clay Wolf, why did y'all only have him for 3 hours on Saturday? He does a four-hour show. And God forbid there's A&M, any kind of a sport, then they cut him off even quicker.
Apparently we only carry him for three of his 4 hours.
We only take...
I know.
You want all 4 hours of him?
Yeah, I'd love 4 hours. I'd love 24 hours of John Clay Wolf if I could get that. But
bang your monkey, ask so, Rome that you need all 4 hours. Remember when Rome used to,
Rome used to do that? Yeah.
Bang your monkey. If you're only getting 3 hours, you need to get 4 hours, Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, he wants his 4 hours of John Clay Wolf. I didn't realize that he was preempted for lacrosse or whatever. I did not know.
Yeah, well, I have issues, but whatever.
No. If you like a show, you like a show.
That's cool.
I'm not saying you have issues, Dan.
No, that's cool. You know, we do the Charlie Epps Golf. I think we do the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, and I think that preempts
his
first hour.
So you are preempting John Clay Wolf?
Golf keeps more John Clay Wolf off this
year. Yeah, but golf is the most important thing in the world. So.
Oh, Dan.
So, Dan, you're talking to the right person.
Yeah.
John is the problem.
I'm pretty sure that's his second hour.
Does he start at 8 o'clock?
I think he does. Okay. I think he does.
So you take off the first hour.
9 a.m.
No, 9 a.m. I know, but he really starts at 8, and we preempt the first hour.
Yes.
With the golf hour. Yeah.
Sorry, Dan.
I only get 3 hours.
We know.
That. We'll see what we can do.
Life goes on.
Does he have?
You'll figure this out.
Yeah, Dan. Does John Clay like stream? Does he have a personal stream? Like you can go to his website.
Oh yeah, go to johnclaywolf.com.
You can listen to the whole thing at johnclaywolf.com.
Well, I can do that. But I also like my 97.5. I like my ads. I like
Yeah.
I'm a loyal listener.
We love that. We love that about you, Dan. And we love that you love John Clay Wolf. You never know when it's going to change. We'll see. We could get all 4 hours in the future. We don't know. What kind of dog is that, Dan?
Yeah, who's more upset, Dan or the dog?
You got a yappy dog.
They're loose dogs in Beaumont, Texas.
You got a yappy dog, man. Can you shut that thing up?
No, I don't know if it's his.
It's not even his.
Not mine.
It's not his dog.
Did your dog bite?
Y'all are live on air.
Yeah.
So don't shut someone else's dog up.
Does your dog bite? No.
Say wolf.
I thought you said your dog doesn't bite. It's not my dog.
What's that? What is that?
Oh, Inspector Clouseau. You never saw that?
No. I told you, I don't watch any of the classics like Gone with the Wind and Clouseau.
No. Really? Pink Panther? Never seen the Pink Panther?
I did when I was real young. I don't remember anything about it.
He's sitting in the park with a dog. The guy goes, does your dog bite? No. He goes to pet it. Dog bites him. I thought you said your dog doesn't bite. That's not my dog. All right, 729 ESPN 97. Thanks, Dan. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening to John Clay Wolf. 713-780-3776. We'll talk about that change, a big change in Houston broadcasting next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 7:32 on ESPN 97.5. Man, some bad news. Yesterday I was scrolling through the Chronicle, and it just said, Matt Bullard not to return to the Houston Rockets next year. I was like, what? What the? How in the world is Matt Bullard not? How's he getting cut? Of all the guys that, honestly, Bull is great at what he does. Apparently, this hit him too. Well, he didn't know it was coming. He tweeted out, where is the tweet? He said something to the effect of, I am not going to be renewed by AT&T. I had no idea that was going to happen. So that is unfortunate for all of us, if you want to know the truth, because Bull is really, really good at what he does. I think Bull is great, don't you?
I like Bull a lot. I think Bull strikes me. I think Bull's good. Do I think Bull's the be-all, end-all? No, not me personally. But one of the things I really like about Matt Bullard is his willingness to similar to Jeff Blum, is embrace the analytics movement because his team is so driven by it and has been under Daryl Morey. when Daryl was here, he brought a lot of things to the table. Matt Bullard took a lot of details from the analytics scouting reports, and I don't know if it was provided by the team or if he just did his own digging, but I thought Matt did a great job of educating the average Rocket fan on, mm-hmm. on the ways that the Rockets perceive shooting and basketball, really, the philosophy of basketball. I thought Bull did a great job on that. I think Matt Bullard does a good job. I'm not sure why the shakeup. Maybe they just think, okay, with Bill Worrell leaving now for home games, we're going to start anew. I assume Craig Ackerman's going to take over full time, right?
I think so. And that was a pretty damn good team. Vernon Maxwell has been out there saying he wants the job.
I know.
He's been campaigning for it. Bull actually retweeted it and said it'd have to be on a 7-second delay.
Yeah, this is the thing. I don't know about Vernon. Here's what you have to be. You have to be reliable, dependable. You have to know that guy is going to treat it, that he's not a former athlete. He's a guy who is a color commentator who's going to show up. And I don't know anything about Vernon. I know when he was a player, reliable. Knowing him from University of Florida and the issues he had, then with San Antonio Spurs, then with the Rockets, you know, I still have the pulling a gun on somebody at the freeway, brandishing the gun, throwing the weight at Carl Herrera, the fight. Look, we all know about Crazy Vernon doing jail time for his issues with child support that was in arrears. Like, Vernon's had some stuff in his background. The one question I would have about Vernon Maxwell is, look, he's very entertaining on Twitter. How does he actually break down a game? That's not just something you throw somebody in there. That is a skill, to be able to understand pacing, to know when to get in and out versus your play-by-play guy.
Any guy who starts is going to have those issues at the beginning.
Yeah, but some guys are really talented at it.
Yeah.
We see guys in the NFL Network all the time who come in, who they bring in, and...
And then like there's Cam Jason Jordan. Witten.
Yeah, and then there's Jason Witten.
Right.
But Cam Jordan, usually they're vetted. Like, has he gone to any kind of broadcast school, or has he done anything to get properly prepared? I don't think Vernon Maxwell has any chance. Clyde Drexler was no good. Clyde should never be on a broadcast like that. We know that.
He's just a huge name.
Vernon's
not a huge name like that.
No, but you have to be a guy that's going to show up and always be on time, always be just dependable to make the team flights and do all that stuff. But then the second thing is, you got to be good at your job as an analyst. And I don't know, you know, maybe a former coach, maybe another former player. I don't know who it's going to be. It makes me think maybe the Rockets already have somebody in mind if they're getting rid of Bull. But Ackerman,
it's not going to be one of Fertitta's kids. Art.
No.
Okay.
But I think Craig Ackerman is stepping into the full-time role.
No.
Craig. Has one of Fertitta's kids ever done a broadcast before?
No.
Well, that wouldn't stop him from making the hire.
No. This is what Bull said. They, AT&T Southwest, called me just a couple of days ago and said that they were not going to be renewing my contract. It was a big surprise to me, says Bull.
So is it their decision and not the Rockets?
I think you're probably going to have... working together on that.
Have
somehow.
To be, right?
Yeah. I don't think you make those kind of
AT&T
unilaterally
can't say
you make that
Rockets,
decision.
No.
I don't believe so. I don't believe so. And I don't think Bull was at all critical of the team. I'm listening to the broadcast. He was as positive as you could possibly be on a team that won 4 out of 50 games and down the stretch. I don't know why. I don't get it. Bull is really, really good. Now, Jim Deshays moved on. I don't know that, you know, and he was able to get a job with the Cubs and in a huge market. And Channel 9 is a national station. WGN's a national station. And Cubs broadcasts are huge. So maybe Bull is going to be able to, although he is so Houston, right? I mean, he could go back to Iowa. And do, but why would anyone?
What
would
he do
that?
In Iowa?
Iowa Hawkeyes basketball. Games? Hawkeyes basketball.
Normally, that spot, well, in pro cities for pro teams, that spot goes to a former player. Is there a former player on the horizon that we don't know about that could do what Bullard did? Like, you just listen to broadcasts around the league, and there's always a former player doing the the analysis. Yeah. Do we know of a former Rocket that is in the game that they could go get that does this? I mean,
maybe Vernon.
Well, who actually has
experience
doing it?
No, not who has experience.
Calvin? Come back, Calvin?
No.
Remember when they fired Calvin? Now, Calvin came back. And so, I don't know, maybe if there's enough of an up, I don't know that Bull will elicit that kind of response from everybody. But
no,
Bull was pretty damn good at what he did, I thought.
Yeah, I think Bull's done, especially if the owner of the Rockets wants
to. Well, yeah, but we don't know. That came from the owner. Maybe he just agreed.
If it is in conjunction with.
Right.
I don't think they're going to change their mind at all. What about Jeff Van Gundy? Maybe he just takes a break away from television.
You think he would come do local? He locks in on local? Some of this
Rockets team versus Sacramento.
So you think the guy who gets paid a lot of money to do maybe two games a week is going to come and walk do local through this, stuff?
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, you get a chance. There's no pressure on you because you're calling a team that's going to be a bad, you know, they were the worst team in basketball.
How much
this
pressure
year.
Is it on the call national games?
Yeah, but there's a lot of eyes on them.
Okay.
So this way you get away from all that pressure. You got Rockets Kings, you know. Not a lot of people are going to, you're going to feel relaxed.
By the way.
You don't have to fly as much. Maybe Jeff Van Gundy's afraid of flights. We don't know that for sure.
Well, here's the deal is he's a Houstonian now.
Yeah.
Through and through. He loves Houston. He isn't getting any national broadcasts for Houston Rockets basketball in the foreseeable future.
That's it.
So
maybe you can let him have like 5 or 6 games off to go do a national.
You think he wants to spend a Wednesday night in Sacramento if he doesn't have to? That's what you're suggesting by going local.
Well, going local, maybe you don't travel with the team
anymore.
You can
see Christian Wood.
You know, maybe you do it from here.
Jay Sean Tate.
You know, that's what they did now. They didn't travel with the team. That might be the going
forward. You think they're
going
to do that going forward?
Maybe.
I'm really curious about how
they
things
save
are going
hotels
to be in
all year long?
In real life, though, I don't know which player, and I don't even think it has to be a Rocket player. I don't know that Mario Elie strikes me as a guy who would be that verbose that you would have. Mario knows the game great, and I think he can speak on it like at an AT&T on television type role, at halftime or at the end of a game. A color commentator is a different deal. That's more of a grind. I don't know that's how I see Mario. It will be interesting. I do think when Ackerman takes over, it gives him a chance to plug a bunch of different guys in with him over the summer and see which one has the right chemistry. We'll see. But Matt Bullard, he has that connection to the championship team, so people have a special place in the heart for a lot of Houston Rocket fans because he was part of a title in
93-94. Mm-hmm. So interesting. I mean, that's a shame. I saw that yesterday and I was like, what the heck? I like you get used to it. You're comfortable with Bull. And he did. I thought he did a hell of a job. And I thought he as positive as that was probably as difficult a job as you could possibly have to be positive in that season, in the worst season, one of the worst seasons in NBA. I don't have his number. For whatever reason, I don't have Bull's number.
Because he was on a podcast yesterday.
He was?
Yeah.
Anybody's got his number, call him. Tell him to come on. Give him a call and tell him to get on the show. We want to talk to him. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. Not one damn bit. It's 742 ESPN 97.5, 743 now. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. I do like Jeff Aronoff. I do like Absolute Marble and Granite. I do like what Jeff Aronoff did for me. I do like what Jeff Aronoff does for everybody. I like that Jeff Aronoff only does big jobs. I like that Jeff Aronoff does entire hotels, okay? He puts in all the countertops or the vanities or whatever in all the cabinets in hotels. It's what Jeff Aronoff does every single day. Jeff is awesome at what he does. And if you're looking for somebody that can build you that outdoor patio, can build you that outdoor kitchen, can build you a new kitchen or bathroom, this is what Jeff does. So give him a call. Let him come see. Let him start. His guys are out there right now. He has grown exponentially since I first met him, I don't know, 20 years ago or whatever it was. And Absolute Marble and Granite is unbelievably good, and you will enjoy working with Jeff. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 7:45 on ESPN 97. I'm looking at a list. I'm looking at a list of worst off seasons. We've got a break now with OT, and we're in between whatever.
No,
we still got our OT.
I'm at practice today.
Yeah, you're going to practice today. You get to
first
go.
Time I get to go. It's been locked down, and first time in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean that's the first time since 2019 I've had a chance to go to the practice.
I'm looking at a list.
I had to get an invite though.
Yeah, you did have
because it's not like
I didn't get that invite. If the invite was on a golf course, I would have accepted gladly. But it's not. It's at the practice facility, right? They're not going to be practicing on the golf course?
They're not going to practice on the golf course. I think the fields are probably well-maintained.
Yeah, I would think so. But I was up at Wildcat yesterday. You want to talk about well-maintained? It is nice. I'm telling you, there's all this rain, and it's pretty.
Are you going to tell me water's good for grass? Is this what you're going to try to sell me on?
No, and it's wet.
So I get to go see the Texans and see their off season up close and personal for the first time because you're speaking on off season, so I'm trying to bring you back to the off season. But the Texans off season is going to be on display for 1 year, and I was thinking about this before you get to some of the rankings. Maybe it's a good thing that so many guys are playing for contracts. You have so many players who are on 1 year deals. Or who are on the verge of getting kicked out of there by the new regime, I wonder if it will benefit them with three or four of these veterans having really good seasons because they're on a contract year. Desmond King comes to mind, obviously. Maybe Shaq Lawson. I just don't feel like
he's talked that about guy. This yesterday. I just don't get what they're doing. They're bringing in a bunch of guys on 1 year contracts when you should be looking for some. Young guys that maybe could pan out. You know, you hit on some unbelievable guys in undrafted free agents in Arian Foster, and then the guy you cut that went to the Packers and became one of the great corners in the game. I mean, you can find guys that maybe will help you in the future as opposed to just signing 1 year contracts with veterans, aging veterans. I don't understand that.
Well, but a lot of them actually aren't aging better. I mean, Shaq Lawson's in his mid-20s. Desmond King's in his
about 26. But Shaq Lawson has been less than below average as a player. Malik Collins has been – he was terrible.
Well, good players got real contracts, and you're not – the Texans are not in position to go sign a good player. They're a bad team. And they didn't have money at the time either. I mean,
and they're going to be a bad team with guys that have 1 year contracts.
But I think you're kind of overstating it just because this is a bad. They had to cut the salary cap way back, and agents don't want their players to sign for multi-year contracts with smaller amount of salary cap space. Next year's the year where you're going to see the multi-year deals. There's a ton of 1 year deals this year. Just
place, but. Are these the guys or are they just stopgaps?
Well, stopgaps.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But it doesn't mean that.
But if you're rebuilding, you don't get stopgaps.
Look, Terrence. So one of the Terrences might hit Brooks, in the secondary.
Or Terrence, which one? Mitchell. Brooks.
Terrence Brooks. So Terrence Brooks, Desmond King. Those are two guys that you hope. And Desmond has a history. Desmond is a legit football player. There's a chance that maybe he has a good year and you convince him.
That's one legit football player.
Remember, we saw the same thing with Tyrann Mathieu. He was on a one-year prove-a-deal, and other teams had a chance to sign Tyrann, and they didn't. So sometimes these opportunities do come up. I don't see anyone I want them getting in bed with long-term on these contracts. They didn't have any. And if you're a prospect, are you really in love? And granted, money is money, but the Texans have had cap issues. Hey,
prospect. I would love to come to the Texans because I'm going to get a chance to get on the
prospect,
field.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what prospect, I said. Prospect, yes. You just said but prospect. But none of these guys are prospects.
But prospects, you're talking about guys who are six-rounders, seven. You're talking about players who don't have key traits. You're talking about guys who are probably.
Play. Let's see. Reed. Let's see. Give him another year. Let's see. I want to see Lonnie Johnson on the field.
You'll see him. Yeah, they've been there already.
Maybe.
Lonnie was there last year.
Reed won't be. Coulter, we don't know.
Why won't Reed?
Well, I don't know. Because they've signed Mitchell. They've signed
No.
Desmond King. They've signed.
No, they got competition. You can't be the worst secondary in football and not have competition. You have to bring in competition.
They got competition of guys that aren't going to be here long term. They're not going to be here. They're just not.
But there's. I think that their thought is, let's still try to. They know it's not. I can't speak completely, and I'm not 100% sure that. I feel like Nick Caserio's been in this long enough that you kind of have to trust him. But at the same time, I am curious about the. I didn't love the way they handled the draft, and I am curious about the philosophy of the rebuild. Because you've taken it down to the studs. Once you trade Deshaun Watson, you're going to get a bunch of draft picks, but you also are going to get hit with a salary cap hit. You're going to have another hit. Now, good thing the salary cap goes up, and I'm assuming, and you're going to let Whitney Merciless walk after next year and all that. So you're going to have money that will be available. I think next year is the first year that we see a real attempt to rebuild the team.
So this is a wasted year.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I didn't love the way they handled the draft. I think it is. You look at free agency, you look at the draft. I don't see moves that are being made. I see transitional moves. I don't see moves.
That's my point. Is this is just delaying. Well, now, there. Listen, with the lack of draft picks and everything else and the lack of money and the cap space and everything else, he was put in an untenable situation. I get that. I get it. But some of the things you're just scratching your head going, why? Why the trades and the... Why? I don't get it. Anyway, the offseason. When you talk about the worst off seasons and best off seasons in the NFL, I mean, immediately the Texans would come to mind, no? With what's going on with Deshaun, with no draft picks, with the whole Easterby, the whole Caserio, the whole everything that is going on. You would think the Texans had the worst offseason, maybe one of the worst offseasons in recent NFL memory, how bad this has been, but not the case according to this list. And this list was done by Bill Barnwell. Bill Barnwell says the Raiders had the worst offseason. Contracts for Ngakoue and John Brown were relative bargains. The Raiders handed Kenyon Drake a 2-year, $11 million deal to serve as a running back along Josh Jacobs. And they also dismantled one of the league's most impressive lines, getting rid of Trent Brown and Rodney Hudson and Gabe Jackson. And then they drafted Alex Leatherwood, who was overdrafted. So he thinks that was the worst. The Packers are second to worst. Aaron Rodgers in that situation. I don't know how that's worse than what's going on with Deshaun. David Bakhtiari recovering from torn ACL. Elgton Jenkins taking snaps at left tackle in OTAs. They've got Eric Stokes and A.J. Dillon is expected. Jones re-signed, and they wasted a draft pick on A.J. Dillon from last year, apparently. So, and then, then they've got the wide receivers not even showing up. Pittsburgh, that went wrong. Bud Dupree, Mike Hilton left in free agency. Steve Nelson from cornerback. Justin Lane, a third-round pick, has only played 117 defensive snaps over his first two seasons.
He's gotten some off-the-field problems, too, from what I remember.
Their line is a mess. Marquise Pouncey, retired. Matt Filer, Alejandro Villanueva left. So those three are actually worse than the Texans. He's got the Texans next. And we know all of the Texans' problems.
Well, Texans didn't have draft picks in the first two rounds. Texans... just signed a bunch of Band-Aids, but it wasn't, it was already not great. Who did you lose, really? You lost J.J. Watt, but who else did you lose? I guess, does he count Deshaun Watson as a quote-unquote offseason? I guess you kind of have to.
Well, no, that's the first thing he said.
Yeah, okay.
What's going on with, and he's talking, in Green Bay, what he's talking about, what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. So, but this situation is much worse in that right now, what you could grab for Aaron Rodgers would be you'd knock it out of the park. You can't grab anything for Deshaun Watson.
Not yet. Nothing. But I had this conversation yesterday about Deshaun Watson, and there was a thought. Actually, it was with Richard Justice. We were talking. He's writing an article for Texas Monthly about the Texans, and he said, there's no value for Deshaun Watson. I said, well, not now because he's not a known entity. But I said, let me tell you something. Next year, people can say what they want, and I'll plant the flag here, and I know I'm going to be 100% right on this. As soon as if the Texans wait for Deshaun Watson's, penalty phase to be stated, Oh, it's actually a guy from NFL Network I was talking about, too, about Deshaun Watson. So it's both of them. If the Texans know that he's suspended for 6 games, because I think that's the thought, he's going to get suspended for 6 games. If he gets something settled, catches his 6 games in season next year, I think there's a very real possibility that Deshaun Watson does not play football at all in 2021, right? But then once you get into 2022, I think that you're going to see the Texans maybe sometime after Combine, when you know about this draft class, you start to have a really good feel for it, all the medicals and everything, you know what the draft positioning is. I believe that once Deshaun Watson has been cleared, his suspensions are over, you know that he's going to get back on the field. This idea that somehow he's so tainted that teams aren't going to want to take him, that's the dumbest thing in the world. You guys must have never watched sports ever if you're saying that. He's going to get a minimum of 2 firsts and 2 seconds, and I still think he gets 3 firsts. And that's going to happen. And keep in mind, here are some teams that need quarterback by next year. Pittsburgh, Atlanta, potentially New Orleans. Go down the list of teams in the potentially the Philadelphia Eagles. If Hurts doesn't work out, you've got some teams who have been pretty good who are going to look there. Look at that position. What about the Green Bay Packers? What about the Seattle Seahawks if this Russell Wilson stuff keeps bubbling up to the surface? What about Tampa Bay?
Oh, no, there's plenty of suitors.
I mean, listen, there's a ton of suitors.
Yeah.
So to act like there's not going to be, and the quarterback class next year, there is no Trevor Lawrence in next year's quarterback class. There is none. I don't care who ends up playing well and becoming the next Baker Mayfield, who steps into it and maybe is the guy who came out of nowhere and ends up being the first pick. He's not Trevor Lawrence. So Deshaun Watson's going to be in almost 100% certainty more heralded than any quarterback coming out next year in the draft, that he will have value for the
yes.
Texans. The Texans will have value.
Oh, no, he'll
they
have huge
just
value.
Have to sit tight
yes.
and wait it out.
Yes. No. We've been saying that. I don't think there's any. And yeah, there's people. They think they're getting something for. Yes, they're getting something for Deshaun. You idiots don't know.
Not right now. Yeah. Just get rid of them before. Before what?
You should have traded them before. How could
you'll
you
do like me? Sell AMC stock
who
early.
Who would?
Don't you, sell your AMC stock early.
I mean,
let your Deshaun Watson stock go to the moon.
After Mills was drafted, the people on there was one guy on Twitter. You should have traded him already. If you were going to draft a quarterback, you could have got a quarterback with the first round and not Davis. Well, I understand you being pissed about Davis Mills in the third round as opposed to a player that might be able to play for years to come here. I get that. I understand that argument. But that you should have traded Deshaun Watson already with all this uncertainty and taken pennies on the dollar for him? Because no team was going to trade for him not knowing if he's going to prison.
Right.
Who's going to trade for him?
Well, not even on his suspension things. Or you, if you don't know what all the...
No.
Remember, the details kept leaking out forever. At one point, it was described as a leaky faucet that Rusty Harden had to wait for all the water to empty out of the drain, but you know, out of the spigot before he could turn it off. Because you can't just start saying, okay, you can't attack your defense. You can't set up your defense and start to mount your attack if things are still coming out about your client. You can't do that. And that's why it took a little while for anyone to say anything on Deshaun's side.
Yeah.
We haven't heard anything lately. It's been a little bit since we've heard anything new.
Nothing. No.
Those billable hours just
remember that, click that it, that's just, because they're negotiating all those yeah, settlements. Those, oh, no, that's right. They haven't done
those
any.
Those billable hours are just checking yep, in on you, Deshaun. Yep. We'll see what happens.
Jason wants to know, did Matt Bullard say something about someone's hair?
I don't think so.
I don't know that.
Big Dobbs said, my father wants to bet the Texans will win at least 3 games. I'm taking the under. He wants 2-1. Should I take the bet? No, you should get the 2-1. I mean, under three wins, you're taking 2 wins. You should be getting 3-1, honestly, Big Dobbs, because that's 17 games.
2-15.
To go 2-15 is not easy.
It's not easy.
The Texans can hey, Tyrod Taylor can end up having a game
yeah,
at some point. They could luck into 3 games. You could have a special teams, a kick return touchdown that happens and a fumble recovery touchdown.
Hey, so what do you think about Tyrod Taylor and all his comments since he's been here about his interview?
Let me think. Tyrod Taylor. Oh, I hadn't heard him once.
No, that's right. The only quarterback in the NFL that hasn't spoken to the media.
Right.
What, so, but it's not the Patriots. Okay, It's 8 o'clock now on ESPN 97.5. 713-780. You want Steffi earlier? You want to hear from Steffi about Naomi Osaka? And do you guys have any questions for her?
Why, does she actually have a real job she has to get to, so she wants to move it up? She actually has work she needs to do?
No, no, actually, she's in Chicago just hanging out, actually.
Oh, okay.
But she's up, she said.
We can talk. Well, she's your daughter, so you should be telling us when she can come on.
Yeah, no, 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 she can come on whenever. But I figured y'all had some questions about Frankie's driving for her or something.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about Naomi Osaka.
If anybody has questions for my daughter, Steffi, who's going to come on?
Like, did you?
I'm sure Art will.
I think Frankie's the one we actually want to interview.
Yeah, as far as
we got more questions for Frankie. Honestly.
Well, I'm sure we'll have Frankie.
Steffi seems like the well balanced one, the one you rarely talk about because she didn't cause you any issues. Frankie's the one with all the
stuff. No. Steffi doesn't, but yeah, she's the good one that actually got a doctorate. The other one, no.
Yeah, who's looking for that?
She's at a Darty right now in Washington
at 9 a.m. in Washington.
It's 8 o'clock right now on ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.